flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, noon hour straight ahead. NFL no huddle just a couple of minutes away. We'll react to some of the news the last 24 hours, but kind of start turning the page toward the Super Bowl as well, as 10 days away from the big game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, by the way. Got you covered for hours. Pre-game show starts at 2 o'clock. Game doesn't kick off till 6:30. Probably won't be over till 11.
Why did it always seem 10 like hours the game started later?
Didn't it always seem like you start later than 6:30?
To me, it always felt like it started earlier.
Oh, yeah,
because it did. Yeah. And then I moved out here. It's like, dang, the Super Bowl is, because it's not really 6:30. It's like 6:45, right? And it's Sunday, and then it takes forever because halftime's an hour.
The whole day, the whole Super Bowl Sunday takes forever.
Forever.
It takes forever to get to the damn game. Mm-hmm. So the old thing is about that, you got to pace yourself. Now, I don't believe in that theory at all.
You don't believe in pacing yourself?
What for?
Mm-hmm.
I'm last.
Well, maybe you are pacing yourself. Your pace is just faster than most.
Yeah, I'm a last. Don't worry about that. But, it's just a long damn day.
It's a long day.
And it's a long weekend, too, because there's nothing on Saturday, really. Mm-hmm. And so
Puppy Bowl, I think.
And that's damn – well, I don't do honey-do list, but that's something to-do list.
What do you do? What's your list like? Randy do?
No, I do more stuff. And when football season's over with my wife, I should say for her, because right. You know that I don't.
Right, just because you're not like a worker.
Yeah, I don't do nothing for my wife. I'll do stuff with my wife and everything like that. So, yeah. But
that's the honey-do list isn't like, come with me to this place. Right. A honey-do list is, hey, the backyard looks like crap. Can you get it cleaned up?
Yeah, and I do that. I always do that. But I don't I clean up the back, like when it's time to clean the backyard, when time for the pool open.
Mm-hmm.
Pool ain't open yet. What the hell am I get back there for? The only thing back there, because Samson's job, and this is my rule. When you want a dog, you clean up the poop.
Oh, what a great deal!
You got to clean. You got to clean up the poop. And so,
how are they on that?
He's getting better, okay. But I got to still remind him. Mm-hmm. Hey, dog. Hey, it's about time to go out there and handle your business.
Yeah,
do what you got to do.
I'll say the only thing that I liked outside of the one snow day, the only thing that I liked about that very cold weather, much easier to clean up dog poop. Frozen dog poop just scoops right.
Oh, okay, I got
just
you.
Just scoops
I
right.
I got
up.
You. But yeah, that's
you get some of that loose, warm stuff.
Yeah,
that's like cleaning up a bowl of soup.
You actually use the scooper?
I do. Yeah, we got. Yeah. I got a scooper. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a scooper until his last left it out there, and Nico destroyed it.
Oh, you don't use like the bag inside out trick?
That's how I do it.
Well, that's what I do when I'm walking him. When I'm walking him.
Oh, in the backyard, you scoop.
In the backyard, I got a little tool.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't like the bag because you still feel it. You know what I mean?
I understand that part.
But that's not my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, but no, I don't clean dog poop. No, that's your job. That's your job as a child.
I can't wait till they're old enough to do jobs.
Yeah,
it's going to be wonderful.
No, you just can't be laying around eating my food and using my Wi-Fi. You got to bring something to the table. You got to bring something to the table. Yeah. Even Bash kind of cleans up behind himself.
Does
he's
he?
Three. Huh?
How'd you get that one done?
I mean, he dumps it back out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he sings a beautiful song and everything. Time to put clean the books up, away, clean up. Books away and all that. And it's cool. He claps. All right, good job. And then, bang, goes right back on the ground. So, it works for a minute.
All right, I was going to say, you got to teach me that trick if you got him cleaning stuff up.
Yeah, dog.
Because little savages over there that don't know the meaning of the word clean up. Hey, you just walked in the door. How is it possible that all the clothes you had on are in every room?
Yeah, man.
You've been in here for 5 minutes. How is it possible?
You got to earn your keep, right?
The other day, and I haven't talked about this in a while, but it's an ongoing joke that my family's playing on me. Yeah. So he's got three pairs of shoes now, which he can walk kind of, but what does an 18-month-old kid need three pairs of shoes for? Whatever. He's spoiled.
So
fine.
With you.
Yeah. All right. So he's got three pairs of shoes currently that are in the rotation. We've got like a little cubby system where everybody puts their stuff.
Right.
Right? There was three shoes in there, mm-hmm. not six, because there should be six, three pairs, all the left ones. So even if I wanted to, if I'm like in a pinch and I'm like mismatch, whatever, we got to go, couldn't. So it's like, all right, guys, where's all the right shoes? What is this prank?
I, you know what? And what are you doing? I like that idea because I need to get one because our shoe thing is in the front of the house. I don't ever go within the front door. Mm-hmm. We come through the garage.
Right, right.
But like I wear the same pair of shoes. I leave my shoes in the car and I wear my flip flops and I just put them by the door because the dog would take them and lose them. But that is a great – I need to get one of them things because everybody leaves their shoes at the garage door.
Right, and then it's just a bunch
of
shoes.
And it's a bunch of shoes piled up at the garage door. Mm-hmm. Like, and so you're like, bam. See?
But
it's not – Let's go get a shoe rack.
It's not working because I got three left shoes. Where's all the right shoes?
I mean, he's older and his feet won't hurt him.
I know. I did put one left shoe on his right foot the other day. I was like, well, we're just going to pick your sister up. You probably aren't even going to walk. No one's going to notice. One of them's light up. One of them was red.
There you go. The biggest thing about dads when you dress your child or whatever, just don't take a little picture and let your mom see it.
Yeah, like, exactly. We're going to be back before anybody saw.
I got in trouble because he was at the babysitter and it was rough because he didn't want to get ready. And I had my baby looking rough. But he's just going to the babysitter house and I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And she took a picture, like all cute, like, oh, they're playing. And she's Donna, first thing Donna said, what you got my child on?
Dang it.
Clothes?
Dang it. She snitched on you.
Yeah, she snitched on
you. She picture snitched.
Yeah, she dry snitched on
you. That's terrible. All right.
Yeah, dry snitched on you.
Chris Henderson, the Atlanta United sporting director, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. They are bringing Miguel Almirón back to Atlanta United. So we'll ask him about that, of course. And ask him about if there's anything else going on up there. Because I know they got one more DP spot. Maybe they're going to fill it. Maybe they'll fill it in the next 15 minutes and we'll find out about it together. Let's get to an NFL
Who's
no huddle.
Next.
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I think people are misinterpreting. I think people didn't listen to and are reading the quote from Bill Belichick where he jokingly said they should rename the Lombardi Trophy after
Tom
Brady.
It's unbelievable. He was joking and laughing.
But it is believable.
No, it's not.
Because people don't do stuff.
It's not.
People watch TV and see the quote and then they're like, whoa, Bill Belichick. Yeah.
Oh, my
that's
goodness.
That's what people do. He was joking around.
He was.
But he also made a point that we've been making repeatedly, and here it is.
Players win games. You can't win games without good players.
Yes.
I don't care who the coach is.
Thank you, Bill.
It's impossible. You can't win without good players.
Bottom line.
You know, I found out when I had Taylor and Banks and Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, Jim Burt, Everson Walls, all those guys at the Giants. And same thing, you know, when we got good at Cleveland and then at New England. I mean, it's Brady. It's McGinnis. It's Vrabel. It's Brewski, it's Corey Dillon, it's Randy Moss,
yeah.
Troy
Corey
Brown,
Dillon.
Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law,
yeah.
Rodney
Malloy.
Harrison. Those are the guys that won the games. Man, I didn't make any tackles. I didn't make any kicks. That was Vinatieri that made that kick in 4 inches of snow. You got to have good players.
He's so damn right. And it's so crazy because I love what Nick said. I love what Nick said. He said the same thing. He's like, that's why I recruited so damn hard.
Yeah.
I'm a good coach, but I can't. What do you say? I've never been able to coach a bad player to be good.
No.
You know, because it don't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Oh, you got to have good players.
You can't make me an all-pro.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, if you get a really, really good player, you can develop him into a great player, and they have to be a part of it, too. You got to work towards it. But, yeah, that's what it is. And then he went on to joke and say, yeah, they should rename the Lombardi Trophy after Tom Brady. He was kidding. didn't mean it. No, we don't want it. We don't need to hear that. Just take our word for it. There was a chuckle in his voice when he said it.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to do that. No, they shouldn't.
No.
Just call it the Lombardi Trophy. There's nothing wrong with celebrating the history.
If you're going to call the Super Bowl MVP the Tom Brady Award.
Sure, that'd be fine. Yeah, there'd be nothing wrong with that. Incorporating the GOAT or whatever you want to call him into all that kind of stuff. Like that's what the NBA did a couple years ago, right? They were like, the NBA keeps trying to fix their problems with the most dumb solutions.
What is it? Larry Bird, Eastern Conference, Magic Johnson, Western Conference.
And it's nice nod to those guys. Yeah. But it's
Michael
like,
Jordan's the MVP, Kobe All-Star Game
but
Award.
But it's still the O'Brien Trophy for the championship.
Yes.
And I still don't know who that is. I don't know who Larry O'Brien is.
He was one of the commissioners, wasn't he?
Was he?
I think he was one of the commissioners, one of the original commissioners or something like that.
Could be.
Yeah.
Maybe he invented basketball.
No, that was Naismith, wasn't it?
Oh, that's Naismith. Yeah, that's right. He was basketball commissioner. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
He was also a politician.
Really?
There you go. Yeah. From Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Which is where the Hall of Fame is.
Damn sure is.
Anyway, that's what they call their trophy. So, and there's a lot of other stuff going on. People getting hired, all that kind of stuff. That's great. When was the last time you looked forward to a Super Bowl and one of the team's best play, like the team, the guy that you were most excited to see on the team was a running back? But doesn't it seem like when we were kids, that was the game. It was the game.
That was the game.
I know. But it's so cool to have, like, I cannot wait to watch Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Because
I think it was Marshawn was the last time that was, like, the most exciting player on a team. And even him, the defense was kind of the headliner at that point. Yes. So, I don't know.
I mean, I think Chris McCaffrey.
Okay.
But I think definitely Marshawn. But, like, when we were playing, like, we were growing up, I mean, it was the some of the creme de la creme.
Emmitt. Thurman Thomas and Emmitt Smith. And that was
guys,
the match.
You know what I mean? But then you had breakout running back games like Timmy Smith for Washington.
Right.
Terrell Davis.
But that was the match. Terrell Davis and Jamal Anderson. That was the match.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Terrell Davis. I mean, there were so many good runners then because the emphasis was more on the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're dealing with a team in Philadelphia whose emphasis is the run game, but they also got a running quarterback and all those different things. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's just where the game has gone. I think, what did they say, last 100-yard rusher was with Damian Williams?
Last 100-yard rusher in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Was Damian Williams.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. It's just, you're absolutely right about that. Of course, it's because of where the game's gone. The headliner's been the quarterbacks matchup almost every single year. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting ahead of it and I want it to be this, but doesn't it feel a little bit almost like with what Saquon did this year and what Derrick Henry's doing and Josh Jacobs, maybe even Bijan, like the worms turning a little bit on the running back position and the narrative surrounding it?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope so.
Because it feels like it is a little bit.
Yeah, but I think, you know, when you look at this draft right here, I mean, obviously Ashton Jenty's going to be a first-round pick, I think. It just depends on how high he's going to go.
Right.
So it's probably going to be two running backs drafted in the first round.
Who's the other one?
It'll come to me in 1 second. But I think that when
one of the guys from Ohio State?
No.
No?
No. Damn, where'd the other guy?
Okay.
It'll come to me. But I think that when you look at where the running back position is in the NFL, these dudes can play all three downs. You know what I mean? They're three down backs, can pick up the blitz, can do all those things, catch the football. And, you know, when you look at
the kid from North Carolina, Amarion Hampton?
Is that him? I know it's a big kid.
Okay.
He's a lot bigger. He's
Cam Scataboo, maybe?
No. No. But Cam Scataboo was going to play a long time in the league.
Yeah, he'll be in the league for a long time.
He'll be in the league for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Dylan Sampson could be.
He's going to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the crazy thing about like the running back position. Like, these dudes are smaller NFL backs, but they're just big enough. Like, you look at Trevor Etienne. Trevor Etienne is not going to be no three down back in the NFL. He's too damn little.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's going to get his ass rocked and everything, but he has a role. If you sit there and watch him route run in this Senior Bowl, the dude is cutting people up. And so I think that's the biggest thing now is like because most teams went away from the one bell cow back, too. They started splitting carries and everything like that.
Yeah.
Those guys that you just mentioned off now,
they're bell cows.
Bijan.
Yeah.
We already know what Derrick Henry did. We know what Saquon is.
Yeah.
The bell cow top backs that you get to see a whole lot of.
Yeah, you're seeing it go back a little bit, and it's got to be a special guy to do it. It's got to be a special – you're not just – forcing it with a guy who can't do it like maybe would have happened back in the day, but I love it. I love the fact that Saquon's kind of the marquee guy on that. I know Jalen Hurts is a big star too, but it's very cool to see that be part of the case. All right, Chris Henderson's going to join us next. He's the sporting director for Atlanta United. They've just made a big signing. Miguel Almiron's coming home. We'll ask him about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been looking forward to chatting with Chris Henderson, the Atlanta United sporting director. Once we found out the news and knew that Chris was going to be coming on the show, we're going to chat with him right now. Chris, how are you?
What's up, Chris?
I'm great. Great to be on the show, Andy and Randy. I'm excited.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, I know. Everyone in Atlanta is excited to have Almiron back. Just kind of tell us how this all came together to get him back here in Atlanta.
Yeah, there was lots of negotiating done by our team and Demetrius and we wanted to bring a player who one was going to excite the fans. We knew bringing Miggy back into Atlanta would do that. But the level of play that he has been at for the last years, the pressure that he puts defenses under, the energy he brings, and the leadership that he will bring. He isn't the same, the same kid that when he left here. He's played at the top league in the world, in the Premier League at Newcastle, and the opportunity to bring him back in the prime years of his career and come here and impact the club that he had so much success with is something we're really excited to try and get over the line.
So, Chris, obviously we are all excited about Miggy. You got anything else you're going to – let us know about.
Yeah, we're happy to break news.
We're happy to let our listeners, in on if there's another transaction in the work or anything like that.
We are working on a striker position. We are in the fragile stage of those negotiations and talks. But we look at these two additions will help make the rest of the team better. We kind of look at them as a pairing, bringing in a winger, bringing in a striker. And how do we complement Voráncsek? How do we complement Saba? How do we complement the other star players that we have to make them better? And that's what a designated player should do. He should make all his teammates better and bring the whole level up. And I think we're making progress. We obviously are with bringing Miguel in, and I think the striker will do the same.
So we don't know
Good job, Chris.
We don't know who he is, but he's a striker, and hopefully it'll happen soon.
Good job.
And he's really good, which is all really good news. Chris Henderson, Atlanta United sporting director, joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I do want to get back to Miggy and sort of what you said, because I wanted to ask about what you said before you mentioned it, and I love that you mentioned it because we all remember, and I know a lot of people have watched him in the EPL and watched him play for Newcastle, but he's a different guy. I mean, 6 years is a long time playing in a great league like that, and like he's matured as a player and changed as a player. Like, how is he different now than the guy that we all remember from when he left back in 2018?
Yeah, he still has the, you know, the excitement of driving the ball, running at players, taking players on, pressuring, high pressure. That is all still part of his game. But now in moments where he has defenders around him and it's tight, he's very tidy with the ball. He can connect with his teammates. When he's pressuring, he's organizing with his other teammates on the right way to pressure. And these are things that, you know, maybe he would just run on his own when he was young, and now he's looking more like a team dynamic. How can we go and pressure together? And that to me shows leadership. I saw one game he was wearing the captain's armband. That shows to me not only is he a leader, but he has learned English because. You know, I think he didn't speak as much English when he was first here and the years he had spent there. So he is obviously connecting with his coaches, connecting with his teammates. And he's a guy who just loves the game.
Yes.
You can feel how much passion he has for the game, and it's that's contagious. And we want to get players who are going to have that excitement to be here and be in our market and excite our fans who just love what they do. And he does that in everything he does. You can just feel the joy coming out of him.
Is it like English, like British English, though? You know what I mean? Does he have like a little bit of that accent in it? Because, you know, like when Guzan talks, even though he's from Illinois, he spends so much time over there, kind of sounds a little bit British.
Yes.
Like, is Miguel Almiron's English now English, but also a little bit British English?
You know, when he was speaking English, I didn't notice the accent at all.
Okay.
So it felt like he was... A Georgia English, but we will see.
A country twang?
We will see. When he gets here, if there's, you know, if he has the English accent at all. I'm curious about that now, but I didn't notice it.
Okay, all right.
Obviously, Chris, we got a long ways to go before the season and everything like that. So obviously, I just want to get your thoughts on the past match that they had. You know, it was an exhibition and things like that. But what did your initial thoughts? Because this is the first time we've seen this kind of group without these two guys.
Yeah, I think the preseason games are great for learning about your roster, and it's a chance for us to try young players, some second team players, some teenagers. It's a chance for the regular guys in the roster, the main players, to build their fitness, to get used to combining and touching the ball. So I thought from that perspective, the exercise was good. Guys, everyone pretty much came out healthy from the game. They gained, you know, 90 minutes or 45 minutes of fitness. So from that perspective, in all the preseason games, I want to come out healthy and I want to get closer to fitness, game fitness that we have. And when we get down to Florida, we're going to have some MLS opponents. And as we get closer and closer to the season, the team will start to ramp up and get more laser focused on what we need to do starting February 22nd. But I do like the relationship we have with the local clubs here. I think it's important for us to connect with them and try and help them build their brand as well.
When do you anticipate that Miggy would be available to play?
It's a good question. I think we want to make sure we build him up in the right way. I'm hoping that he's, he can be ready in the next couple preseason games to start to get some minutes with the group. That'll come down to our performance staff, how they're measuring his fitness, integrating him, the coaches integrating him into training sessions, but. We do need to build his minutes up as we get closer to the start of the regular season.
Chris Henderson, Atlanta United sporting director, taking some time to join us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. The big news, Miguel Almiron coming back. We talked a bit about the DP spot, and obviously you're working on it and hopefully getting that finalized soon. Once that is taken care of, like how good do you feel about this roster on paper?
Yeah, I feel like we're building the right way. Like, you know, we have a vision here. I have a vision when I came into this club of what I think in my mind the team will look at. And in order to get to that and have that be a reality from my past experiences with Seattle and Miami, you need to just start taking steps. And you'll take step after step after step, and that will be, you know, that will be additions of players. That will be getting performance staff, all the support staff, everything around them, everything that goes into preparing a team to be a champion. You need to start taking the steps. And these are, you know, these are going to be two massive steps to help improve the team. But it, for me, it's a process. And after you, you know, you start to build those steps and take it, you will look up one day and say, we have a great team. But it takes a lot of work, and it takes, you know, a lot of good strategy and good cap management and deals that we need to make. But I feel like these are two incredible, exciting, you know, signings for the club that will improve us greatly.
And obviously good health, too, which is something that you can't really control. But
that goes into the performance step, yeah, and making sure we have the right food, the right physios, the right routines around every game, every practice.
Can you give us any updates? I know Brooks Lennon is still working his way back, other guys that may be dealing with some stuff. Can you give us sort of any timeline on guys like that?
Yeah, we hope to have Brooks back, you know, in the next couple months. He's been working hard and working to try and work his way back into team training. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that. He seems to have gotten through surgery great. He's healing up. We have a few kind of soft tissue injuries that are minor and normal during preseason. Mm-hmm. Ronnie Dayla's been training the guys super intense, and they've been focused, and you know, everybody kind of has a clean slate with a new coach, which is exciting. So we're just trying to manage some of those niggling injuries that you get for preseason.
Chris, we appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Nice to meet you.
All right,
we'll talk
care.
This year.
My last time that I played down there, and like it was the opening kickoff, and we played them on a Sunday night.
Right, is it, this is the song we were talking about earlier?
Yeah,
this is halftime.
This is the Ying Yang Twins song. Okay,
we played them on a Sunday night, and this like for opening kickoff, and I was on the return team. That place was rocking too.
Yeah.
Oh, it was rocking that night.
People need to bring back marching bands and songs.
The whole stadium, it was rocking that night, man. Phillip, Drew Brees, and Doc. I remember we were so hyped, Doc. And so the ball was kicked off. And usually when I'm on the kickoff return team, which I wasn't a lot later on, I was like, please be a touchback.
Sure.
Yeah, because this guy is flying down here. They're not blocking him. Yeah. I got to block this big-ass five.
Yeah, and if it's a touchback, you don't have to.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking it's a touchback. Ball goes in the end zone. Here comes Sproles, little ass. No, not Sproles. No, it was Goody. Here come Goody. Yeah, I did. Like, dude, as soon as I turned around, dude hit me right in my damn face.
Oh.
And
how deep in the end zone do you think he was?
No, I think he caught that thing in the tunnel. And he brought the ball out. So I'm not ready. Now, that's one of the things that I always pride about. You got to stay ready.
Sure.
All right? I wasn't ready. I didn't cool down with that cool ass jog, get that cool slow jog.
Yeah, keep your elbows in.
Yeah, keep your elbows
hands
tight
up.
And everything. Yeah. And dude, I turn around and dude hit me dead in my face.
Oof.
And it took me everything not to fall. Like, you know how to, you know, when you stumbling backwards, and I was trying to catch myself because I mean, it's open to kickoff.
Right.
My mama gonna see this.
Right. You know, you're gonna get
dude,
knocked out on the
dead
opening
in
play.
The face, dude, it took everything. And I stayed up, but damn it, he knocked the hell out of me and then knocked the hell out of Goody.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
So he came right through you and made the tackle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
came
no.
Came straight through my face. Came straight through my face.
Where'd they get him? On, like, the 10-yard line?
It was, like, the 17.
All right.
It was, like, the 17.
And that's back when a touchback was 20.
Yeah.
So
it's like,
not that
like
bad.
Like, the 17. Yeah, he ran through my damn face.
That's how, as a viewer, I would always – is if they take it in the end zone
right.
and get at least to where the touchback would have got him, I'm not mad at you. If you get tackled before the 20, now it's – what is it, the 25?
Yeah.
30? I don't know. Where the hell's the touchback at now? It seems to continue to creep its way up.
35,
but as long as you got back to where the touchback line was, all right,
and
fine.
But that's why I love the song, but I hate the song because that's the last line.
Fair enough.
I got that dude ran straight to my damn face.
I was thinking about marching bands and rap songs recently anyway because First of all, some of the ones that have them are amazing.
Right.
Morris Brown, Outkast, that one you just played. Trick Daddy has an incredible one.
Yes.
Shut up. Travis Scott, when he performed, that was Travis Scott, right? He performed on the roof. Was he really on the roof? I don't know. It was very cold out. There was a marching band, but the song had no marching band in it. It didn't sound like a marching band.
Really?
To me, it didn't. Maybe I just didn't hear it correctly. But he did the halftime performance at the national championship game, right? That's what that was. And they showed him, and they showed all these people, those tubas, trumpets, drummers, everything you'd want in a marching band. And I didn't hear any. I just heard autotune.
Well, I mean,
there aren't any marching bands. Maybe they auto-tuned the marching band. It sounded different.
That's what I was saying. Maybe they auto-tuned the marching band.
I was like, oh, great. I can't wait for this sound to happen here. They're reincorporating some marching band music into some. It wasn't there. It was just a marching band for looks.
Yeah.
I think there was a little bit of band right at the beginning.
Was there? Okay.
And they were supposed to, you're supposed to be thinking, or they're trying to make you think that the band was on the field and he was on the roof, which neither were true.
Okay. Got it. Because I was just waiting for the tuba to kick in and like give it a little bit of oomph. And I was like, that's what this song needs.
You can never get enough tuba.
It never happens.
It's a tuba. It's shouty.
Nah, there's nothing wrong with a tuba.
A tuba shouty. The tuba thing shouty.
You got a tuba in your song. Your song's probably pretty good.
Yes. Until you have a. Well, he's got really good at it.
He's playing the tuba.
Yeah, he's got better.
I bet he is good at it.
First boy, goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
What the heezy's going on?
Kids learning an instrument is not. Music.
No, it's not. It's noise.
It's a lot of noise.
A lot of damn noise.
But it's turned into music?
I just say it's getting better.
Okay, it's not music yet.
I imagine that one's, like, you don't get too many tuba solo performances.
I hope not.
So even when he masters the song, will it sound like the song?
Yeah, he wants to go to the snare drum next year. So I'm like,
that'd
all
be
right.
Fun.
Good, all the loud ones.
Yeah, exactly.
But at least with the snare drum, you get, like, one that little rubber silencer thing.
Yeah.
Because my brother did the snare drum, and we were like, great. Because I did the trumpet. My mom was about ready for nobody to ever play an instrument again. And then Ryan got a drum, but it had the little pad on it. So it's not so bad.
Okay. I mean, whatever. You know, I'm all about my baby girl, Kai, she's doing a big chorus performance, this big Georgia musical, whatever thing. It's up at UGA today. And so, yeah, she's up there singing, just doing her thing.
Well, that's beautiful. She's singing. That sounds wonderful. Yeah. Kids and instruments.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Hello, Bo.
I'll tell you what, it doesn't take much to get people riled up, and nothing gets people riled up like that argument that was had way back about an hour ago. So there's a person on the text line from the 404 that is under the impression that halftime was actually written for the Saints. This is false. Now, there is some kind of weird video for that song where they are wearing Saints jerseys. One of them's actually got a Braves hat on. I don't think that's the official music video, though.
Oh,
but it is them.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't want to believe me, just listen to them tell their side of the story.
We catch a lot of flack from Atlanta for that, for them saying we made a song just for the New Orleans Saints. That's a motherfucking lie. We good at making good music. That song came out when Salt Shaker came out.
Right.
They just picked it up. And the whole city of New Orleans told us they self, the elderly people, they said, thanks, said after Katrina, they said, cause of the good Lord and y'all song were why we made or won the Super Bowl. Boom.
Bam.
And
they answered that question.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
They're really good at making good music.
Yeah, what do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want from me?
Hey, New Orleans, y'all stop playing my damn song.
What am I supposed
song?
To tell them? No, they're paying us money.
They're paying us money.
Leave me alone.
Y'all come pay your mortgage.
If you read up about that song, so there was a marching band beat that they were given from somebody in Louisiana, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But the song was actually written for Falcons fans. But it also turns out Ying Yang Twins aren't even huge football fans anyway, so they probably don't care if their song's being used.
Okay.
You know that they're I'm on their Wikipedia page right now. Not twins. Not even brothers. Just a clever name.
Not even brothers, really.
Did you think they were twins?
No, I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
Could have been brothers, though.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
They're not. Just friends.
Main cousin?
Co-workers. I mean, who knows? It doesn't get too deep into the lineage.
The lineage of them?
Yeah. Despite the name, the duo are not twins, brothers, or related in any way.
Okay.
So, nothing.
Main cousin.
Not even cousins.
Nope.
Oh. Well, I don't think yin and yang are twins. I don't know.
It's not even, it's the yin yang twins, not the yin yang twins.
So, in the best Super Bowl development, because that's happening in New Orleans next week, brand new digital correspondent for the Super Bowl on Fox during Super Bowl 59 next Sunday Jameis Winston.
What?
That's good. Digital correspondent. So I guess they'll go to him on social media and whatnot, and he'll be doing some funny Jameis Winstonisms and whatnot.
That's going to be amazing.
Hopefully they go to him on the live show, because I don't know if I'm going to be on Twitter much or...
No, they need to let Jameis be out in the streets.
Yeah, man on the street.
Man on the street.
Exactly right.
Microphone,
exactly
and right. Microphone and a damn camera.
Jameis conversing with the public.
That's what they
is
need. They got
exactly
that. That's exactly
what
they
need. Yeah, like they're different guys, but you know what I mean? Kind of same cloth. Like what Marshawn does?
Yes.
You can
100%.
Do that with Jameis.
Yeah, and he probably wouldn't curse as much.
Could you do that?
I think you could. Like, because Marshawn's out there like, let me go interview some Amish people about what they're about.
Oh.
Jameis could do that.
100%.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because the Lord says.
Yeah, they probably want to avoid too much of that because they might not agree on everything. But, yeah, let him just kind of go experience different stuff. We'll tape it and then watch him do it.
Yeah, by making him the digital correspondent, that's what I think he's going to be doing. Probably outside the Superdome, talking to people from, you know, the city or people that are coming in from the games. But whatever. Give us more.
He was we played something from the podcast that he was on the other day, right, where he told the story about the...
That was Jason Kelsey's late night team.
Crab Legs, right. And then Ryan... I can't remember his name. Ryan Clark was next to him. And then the comedian Jim Gaffigan was also there, which was really funny. And I guess Jim Gaffigan played college football, sort of, at like Georgetown or something. And he was trying to downplay it. He was like, these guys are football players. I'm not a football player. Please don't try to include me in this. And he said something about walking on. And James was like, no one cares if a walk-on leaves. He just walk off. It was so great.
Hey, damn James, man.
It was so good.
He's freaking awesome.
He walked on, walk off. We'll continue.
Speaking of making people mad, here's a short little tidbit from Bill Belichick.
Maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. He won seven of them.
Chuckles. Chuckles. The chuckles mean he was kidding.
By no oh, means my God, serious. No. Yeah.
There you go.
But they should name it like all they have is a Super Bowl MVP. They don't have a name for it.
It's not named for a player?
No, I don't think
and
so.
And has he won the most of them?
Yes.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, so just make it the Tom Brady Award.
There you go.
And he's gonna be there. Give it to him.
He'll be there. He's calling the game.
He's calling the damn game.
Yeah. No,
Freaking Brady's calling the damn Super Bowl. How many times? Who's this guy?
His play-by-play coach, Kevin Burkhardt.
How many times is Kevin Burkhardt going to say, we know you're no stranger to this?
Oh, so many times.
It's going to happen a lot.
How many times is he going to say that?
So many times.
Tom, when you were getting ready for a game, for one of these games.
Nobody played in more Super Bowls than you, Tom. Yeah, that'll happen.
How many times is that going to
happen?
Will that
be a prop? Will it be Tom Brady Super Bowl
that
references?
That has to be a prop.
What will be? Will there be more of those, or will there be more of camera on Taylor Swift?
Did you hear what Tiki Barber said?
Who cares what Tiki Barber said?
I know, but just this... Ride with me on this one for a minute. He said, because I guess they were having some fun with Saquon and the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, boy, did they make a mistake, blah, blah, blah. And Tiki on his show was like, stop making fun of the Giants. It's played out, whatever. Talk to Falcons fans about not making fun of stuff.
Oh,
okay.
For one
game you had to deal with. And by the way, they blew it. They let Saquon leave. And now look what he's doing. It was a horrible decision. Yeah, talk to me when we're a decade into 28-3 jokes.
They also knew that their team was garbage, and why are they going to give Saquon that money?
Saquon been on the Giants
having the same season.
Yeah, he was on the Giants when he made the playoffs.
I know, but I can't get behind it being a good strategy to let good players leave.
No.
Like, it's not a good team strategy to let good players leave. And they let him leave.
Phil Tiki go to hell.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So y'all going to watch the beginning of the Pro Bowl game tonight?
Hell
no. Else on? No.
I didn't even know it was happening. That's happening tonight?
The flag football game is Sunday.
Okay.
But the Pro Bowl games, which Joey Burrow will be participating in for the first time ever.
In the Pro Bowl?
So y'all are going to watch? Yeah, the Pro Bowl games.
No.
Yeah.
The Hawks are playing the Cavs, man.
No multiple TV action?
Man. We're not doing double TVs for that.
Yeah.
So if you need something else to watch this weekend, you can tune into the Royal Rumble that is happening. WWE.
That's what I'm watching.
I'll be watching the Royal Rumble.
You're doing a good job of mentioning things I'm not going to watch this weekend.
I'll be watching the Benitez fight.
Not a whole lot on.
PGA Tour's at Pebble Beach.
You can watch both.
Huh?
The PGA Tour's at Pebble Beach.
Oh, yeah. It's some good fights this weekend.
Wyndham Clark shot a 60 yesterday.
Speaking of WWE, the headliner of the 2025 Hall of Fame class was announced yesterday or this morning. It's going to be Triple H.
Really? He in already? Well,
that's what I said.
Oh,
so
wow.
Triple H is a member of the WWE Hall of Fame as a member of DX, but he has not been inducted as a solo performer. He just recently retired from the ring a couple of years ago.
Oh, I thought he'd been retired, man.
Pretty cool. Yeah, whatever.
He had the most boring-ass finishing move ever.
What, pedigree?
It was boring as hell. And it was really great. The reason it was boring because it did not fit Triple H. It fitted Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Remember? He was a little bit skinnier, is what you mean?
No, like, he was English elitist.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of move. Triple H needed something harder than that. That's the last part of wrestling I know.
There you go. That's a pretty good piece.
There we go.
I was watching Wyndham Clark highlights from the 60 that he shot last year at Pebble Beach.
Pebble Beach.
It's a great course.
A beautiful course.
Public course. You know, you can play it.
Beautiful course.
And then speaking of Pro Bowls, so Caitlin Clark has bowed out, or she has declined the invitation to do a 3-on-3 or a 3-point shootout for the NBA.
Good.
All-Star game.
Good.
Well, they're not going to be able to market their sport at all if people would decline this stuff, right?
Who?
The NBA and the WNBA.
Yeah, she don't need to do it. She don't have no reason to do it. She played for the W. Y'all aren't using me to pump up your boring ass All-Star game weekend.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Because last year's most exciting thing was Sabrina.
That's what I'm saying. I don't need to be a part of that. And the thing about it, I saw somebody say it helped her brand. She's the biggest brand in the W.
Yeah, I think her brand's doing just
fine. You don't think it would help brand or help with the WNBA brand at all? No,
I don't think so. I mean, I think I would like to watch it. Like, if she was
getting more WNBA fans to watch there,
it would be more likely that more people would watch the 3-point contest if she was a part of it. But yeah, I don't think her brand is
fine.
Doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, she's high.
But yeah, no, I mean, and I mean this with all due respect because this has nothing to do with her. But it's pretty wild that the NBA, like, this is where All-Star Weekend has gotten to, where it's like, dang it, we can't even. Caitlin Clark's not going to be in the 3-point contest. Well, there's nothing to watch.
Nope.
Because, I mean, the 3-point contest is fine, but it's a 3-point contest, right? Like, it's dudes shooting. You can see it. They don't do, like, 360 3-pointers, you know? Like, in the dunk contest, people do cool tricks and stuff, but you never heard of these
guys. Mac, to defend the title, baby.
Dude, if Mac McClung, who's played, he's played less NBA games than he's been in dunk contests, wins for the third time in a row, he's not even in the NBA.
Mac, baby.
It's a shame. But it all goes back to what we talked about earlier. Can't make them care. Can't make them care. Damn, Michael Jordan won the dunk contest. Kobe won the dunk contest. You know what I mean? These guys are some of the all-time greats. Can't be bothered. So sucks. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Yeah, Mac McClung. Get fired up. That's such a great representation of where the NBA is at right now. What's the problem? Mac McClung's the 3-time defending dunk contest winner. That's the problem. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mac.